Last week we left off in Megillah Daf Gittamis Beis. The Gemara of Beis Amar Aleph quoted this two stories about when Rav first came to Bavel. So on one occasion they gave him an aliyah and they didn't know the whole story. Did they give him the first aliyah? Did they give him Shlishi? So until the Gemara finally worked out what the Maisa Shoya was, why did Rav only say Brocha before the Aliyah? He didn't say Brocha after the Aliyah. The Gemara gave a suggestion. And then the second story, unrelated to the first story, probably on another occasion, was that everybody said Tachnun. You see from the Gemara, the practice was that they said Tachnun except on Rosh Chodesh. That's the Gemara in Perek Hazov, that when they put Rav Lezer ben Horkinus into Cherem, so he didn't daven in shul, he had daven at home. And his wife, the wife of Rav Lezer ben Horkinus, was the sister of the chief rabbi had put him in Cherem. So she was afraid that her husband, Rav Lezer, would pray that the chief rabbi should be punished for putting him in Cherem. So she didn't want her brother to die. So every day she would talk to her husband right after he finished Man Esrei, Shachris and Mincha, that he shouldn't say Tachnun immediately following the Shmane Esrei. If you say Tachnun immediately following Shmane Esrei without being mapsik, without talking, this gives strength to the Shmane Esrei, and you stand a better chance of your tefillahs being accepted. So she was afraid her husband would be mispalda, that her brother, the chief rabbi, should die. One day she didn't bother to be mapsik her husband because she thought it was Rosh Chodesh, and at Rosh Chodesh you don't say Tachnun. And turned out that she made a mistake. Tomorrow was going to be. Any given month can either have 29 days or 30 days. So she thought that the month that just ended the day before only had 29 days and today is Rosh Chodesh. And she didn't realize that it was the month had 30 days and tomorrow was Rosh Chodesh. At that day her brother died. Because her husband's prayers were accepted, because he wasn't mapsik in between. So there's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Gaonim, what's the status of Tachnun? The Rambam's opinion is, I think we must have mentioned last week, that reciting Tachnun after Shachris and Mincha, Balayla, we don't say Tachnun. Rosh Chodesh, you don't say Tachnun. So another Shabbos Yom Tov also, Kavach Hamad, you don't say Tachnun. So the Rambam's opinion is that whenever there's no reason not to say Tachnun, Tachnun is a chayva. Just like you're obligated to daven Shmone Esrei, you're obligated to recite the Tachnun immediately following the Shmone Esrei to be mechazik the tefillah. We really don't follow the Rambam's opinion because we're very lenient a lot of times. You have Lag BaOmer, we don't say Tachnun. And Tu B'Shvat, we don't say Tachnun. We have a lot of minor holidays that are really not really legitimate excuses not to say Tachnun. So we really follow the opinion of the Goyim that reciting Tachnun after Shabbos and Mincha is only a Rishus. It's not really a Chayv, it's only a Rishus. So that's why when we have a slight celebration, so we don't recite Tachnun. So the Gemara says all the people in the shul said Tachnun, and Rav didn't say Tachnun. So the question is, why not? So the Gemara gave different suggestions. The one suggestion was that there was Eben Maskis. The Pasuk says in Chumash that Beis HaMikdash has to have a stone floor. It doesn't have a dirt floor, it has a stone floor. So in the Beis HaMikdash, that's a special kiyum. It says when you bring the Kurim, you recite Aram Yavir Avi, and then after you bring the Bikurim, it says, V'hishtachavi Yisro l'fnei Hashem alakecho, you should be mishtachve. So the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Mishnayis Bikurim points out, he doesn't think the V'hishtachavi Yisro by Bikurim has anything to do with Bikurim. It's a general din kol hanechnasim la'azar, have to be mishtachve before they leave. On Yom Kippur, that's one of the discrepancies. One of the major differences between the Nusach HaAshkenaz and Nusach Svarim, they're two different piyutim for the Seder HaAvodah. So Nusach HaAshkenaz, the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah all day long, and then at the end of the day he goes home and he doesn't do any Hishtachavah at all. It doesn't mention. And Nusach Svarim does have Hishtachavah. So that's a question, how can that be? So Rav Soloveitchik, when he was in university in Berlin, used to correspond with his father. So one of the letters was about this, to try to give knock sense into that, unless he say just made a mistake. The Paitan made a mistake, he forgot to write Ishtachavor, but that's hard to believe because the Mishnah and Talmud has that recurrent refrain that says 30 times in the Mishnah, it says, any kohen who was zecha to do anything, kohen was zecha to do the shechita of the Talmud, shechita, kabbalah, halacha, zrike, haktara, any sneeze of an avodah, so it says, ishtachva v'yotza. After he does the avodah, he's mishtachva. That can be that the Paita wrote the piyut of the Seder avodah Yom Kippur, when everything is done by the kohen gadol, and he left out the ishtachva. In the Mishnah, Yuma never says, but shouldn't it be self-understood, said that Rav Soloveitchik had a suggestion. Maybe there's a good, maybe there's a valid reason why Bumtan Yom Kippur, there shouldn't be any Ishtachva. But the Pashto says that Kol HaRech Nasma Azar have to do Ishtachva. Chutz LaMikdash, outside of the Mikdash, then you have a Pasuk. Evan Masiz L'Sitnu B'Artzachem. Artzachem means Chutz L'Beis HaMikdash L'Ishtachva, so that you're not allowed to do Hishtachvoa outside of the Beis HaMikdosh if there's an Eben Maskins. We have a Chumrah from the Goinim, they interpreted in the Gemara here. You look at the floor, we have a wooden floor. There's no Eben Maskins on the floor. So the Goinim interpreted in this Gemara that we're about to learn tonight that if you weren't there when they built the building, maybe there's a layer of stones below the wooden floor. And that's all, you're not allowed to kneel, not allowed to be mishtachve chutz lebeis hamikdash in a location where there's a layer of stones, ever maskers below the floor. If you have a dover chaitzeitz, then it's okay. Let's say you put your talus. Most of the people, when they, on Yom Kippur, when they kneel on the floor, so they put the talus by the knees that the trousers shouldn't get dirty. That's not, it's not supposed to be by me, it's supposed to be by the face. You have to be mafsik. The Yisr is only violated. Eben Masas Lasitnu Be'artzachem Hishtachva Sala Hishtachva means Pishat Yadayim Raglaim. If you kneel, the Gemara says there are three different expressions in Tanakh. One is Kida, one is Kriya, one is Hishtachva. The Gemara is going to quote Psukim. So Kida means a person is standing and just bows. He leans over a little bit, whole body is standing erect. He leans over and his face is parallel to the floor. So that's one way to show respect, kida, the bow. Then you have kriya, person kneels on his knees, but from his knees and up he's straight. And then you have ishtachva, means you have kriya, his knees are on the floor, and from the knee to the feet is stretched out. Of course, it's one bone, it can't be otherwise. And then he has thus pishadai raglaim. He's lying flat on the floor. So that's called ishtachva. So the Gemara suggests maybe in the location where Rav was in the shul, maybe there was an Evan Maskis. Maybe the rest of the shul didn't have an Evan Maskis. So that's why Rav didn't do ishtachva, because where he was, it wasn't allowed. The other Balabatim did ishtachva, but their part of the shul didn't have an Evan Maskis. That's one suggestion the Gemara gave. Then the Gemara said maybe Rav's practice was to do Ishtachva, maybe the Balabatim didn't do Ishtachva. But we on Yom Kippur, when we do the Ishtachva, it's a Zecher Mikdash. We don't have the din of Ishtachva. we don't have the din. We don't have a kind God who's saying Yud Kev Op Kev Kirchsovai. The Pasuk says Kishem Hashem Ekra L'Godal Alakeinu. When the kind God on Yom Kippur pronounce the Shema Amfarish, Yotzim Ipi Kohen Gadol, so then you have to show how a God Lalakenu, you have to, everybody says, Baruch Shem Kohen Machlus Al Yom Void, the Kroivim, that's how the Yerushalmi says, the price in Yerushalmi, the Kroivim means, those in the Azara do Hishtachvoa, and scream out, Baruch Shem. The Rechoikim, those who are not in the Azara, they only say Baruch Shem, they don't do Hishtachva. Hishtachva is only a kiyum in the Mikdash. In the Mikdash is mutter, even though it is Evan Maskers. Chutz l'Mikdash, you're not allowed to. So you're supposed to put the talis, a double mafsik, in between your face and the floor. Because you only violate the Yisr if you have the whole body is flat on top of the Evan Maskers. So you have a double mafsik, it's mutter. the floor, if you have a wooden floor, mapsik, but the wooden floor is attached to the ground. If you have a carpet that's nailed to the floor, also the carpet is not mapsik. If you would have a little rug that's not attached to the ground, then you wouldn't need by your face, you wouldn't need to put the tamas to be mapsik. The carpet would be mapsik, but usually the carpets in the shul are attached to the floor. So just like the floor is attached, mechubel karka, it's not mapsik. So too the carpet is mechubel karka, so it's not mapsik. So the Gemara had this discussion. How come Rav, everybody else said Tachnun, and Rav wasn't being Mishtachves, and well, maybe his part of the shul had Eben Maskis and the rest of the shul didn't have. Then the Gemara has another suggestion, the last narrow line on Chav Beis on Beis, that's what we got up to last week. And then it continues, there's another idea. Adam Choshev Kidder Rabbaloza. The Amar Ablaza Adam Choshev Rash, Ein Adam Choshev Rasha Lipal Apanov, and K Nenik Yeshua Binun. It's a bizoyim for an Adam Choshev that he should say Tachnon Benefilas Apayim when there's a Beis Tzara. So you say Tachnon. So it's a bizoyim an Adam Gadol should place so much effort and energy into the Tachnon to be Kaveh Mishtachla on the floor when there's no Eben Maskas Hastis. Unless he's certain that his prayers are going to be answered. But if he doesn't have Ruach HaKadosh, he doesn't know if his prayers will be answered. So then the Gemara said it's not proper. So Rav was an Adam Choshuv. So he wasn't allowed to be Korei Mishtachbe. He was praying for Tzorchei Tzibur at that time. Not allowed to be Mishtachbe. Adam Choshuv Enim Asher Li Pal Ponov, unless he knows in advance that he will be answered like Yeshua Ben Nun. That Yeshua Ben Nun was Mishtachbe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Kum lecha lamatan reif al panecha. Go fight the war. And they were battling the war with Yericho. Then the Gemara quotes Tana Rabban and the Braisa that the three different expressions, Kida. One says Kida al apayim. Kida means the person, one kind of Kida is he just, this person stands up and just bows a little bit, bows forward. The Gemara is going to say there's another kind of Kida. The Gemara is going to get to that later. Kriya is al birkatan, the person kneels on his knees, but from the knees up, the rest of the body is straight. He's not leaning over. And then, the kriya birkatan, then hishtachva is pishadayim raglan. That's what we do, zechel amigdush on Yom Kippur. Pishadayim raglan. Then the Gemara tells Levi, was in the same generation as Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, so Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, time of the Tanoim. Levi demonstrated Kida Kamei the Rebbe. He demonstrated this a different kind of Kida, not just standing, a person standing and just bowed down. No, his face was parallel to the floor, but he wasn't laying on the floor. He was holding his body. He was almost flat on the floor, but he was holding his whole body up with his arms. So because it was so difficult, he hurt himself, Igmar says. Where's Igmar? Levi demonstrated Kida, Achvi Kida, he demonstrated Kida Kameh the Rebbe the Itla, and he harmed his hips, and he would be limping after that. The Gemara says, is that the Maisu Shehoya? That's why he was limping. You mean to say, that's why he was limping at the end of his life. No, we have the same. Rab Loza gave a different explanation. Rab Loza was a Talmud of Rab Yechon. Rab Yechon was the first generation of Amoraim. So he probably knew Levi. He was the same generation as Levi. So Rab Loza, it shouldn't be fresh. When you dive into the Rabbanu Shalom, why? Shari Adam Gadol, he said, Dvarim Klapi, Milo the Itla, Umano Levi. Who was that? Levi was very fresh when he was diving into the Rabbanu Shalom. So Rashi quotes it from the Gemara and Tainus, that Levi complained to the Rabbanu Shalom, there was some massacre, there's some disastrous event took place in Eretz Yisrael. And he complained to the Rabbanu Shalom, Alisa Lamorim, the last line of Rashi, he quotes the Gemara and Tainus. Alisa Lamaram, you went back to heaven. You don't pay attention. You allow the enemy to kill so many Jews. So he was fresh to the Rabbanu Shalom. And that's why he was punished, that he was limping at the end of his life. So he told me a different story, that he was trying to demonstrate to Rebbe how you do kido, that your face is parallel to the floor, but your body is not laying on the floor. You're holding your body up with your arms and with your hips up in the air. And then he strained his hips. So it's not because of the fact that he was fresh. And for the Gemara, or the Hagar Malay, both. So Rashi explains how Satan must katrek b'shas ha-sakana. That's what it says when Yaakov Avinu was afraid to let Binyamin go. When Yosef accused the brothers, they didn't know that it was Yosef, they didn't know it was him. So they thought it was an Ish Mitzri. So Yosef accused them of being spies. So they said they're not spies. So he took Shimon, his brother Shimon, Vayaser Oser Le'enehim, and he locked him up in prison, and he said he's not going to let Shimon go free unless they actually bring Binyamin. But they said the father is afraid to let Binyamin go. What was the father afraid? Then you create an accident may occur on the highway. Accident can occur in the house also, an accident. If he would say there's heavy traffic and he may get run over on the highway, that's one thing. He didn't say heavy traffic. Dangerous, people speeding on the highway. He doesn't say he's afraid. He says an accident can happen. Accidents can happen at home also. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Asot mekatre, kol adroch mecheska sakana, Asot mekatre b'shasa sakana. Yaakov Avinu was afraid, maybe Binyamin did an avera for which he deserved Misa B'dei Shamayim, an interesting interpretation in the Pasuk. Yaakov was concerned, maybe Binyamin did an avera for which he deserves Misa B'dei Shamayim, Asot mekatre b'shasa sakana, so kol adrochim mecheska sakana, whenever there's a highway, it's a sakana. That's why he was afraid. Osan means Misa B'dei Shamayim, the Gemara says. Osan, the Gemara says, means Misa B'dei Shamayim. Gemara quotes a pasuk like that. So that's what Yaakov Avinu was afraid of. And then Yehuda said, I'll guarantee Anochi E'ervenu. So what does that mean? So Yehuda said, if the Satan comes to take Binyamin's life, because of Binyamin's Avera, Misa B'dei Shamayim, I will tell the Satan, take my life instead. Woo! That's the Pshat that Netziv has a long Arichas in his commentary on the Shiltas. On this, he puts together all the Ma'amar Chazal. That's the interpretation over here. Wow. So that's what happened over here. Levi had done something improper. Alisa Lamaram, Ve'rato Mashgiach Al-Banecha. He was very fresh when he dived into Rabban Shalom. There was some tragedy that occurred that in Eretz Yisrael at that time. Rabban Shalom was not watching over the Jewish people. So because he was fresh, so he deserved the punishment. So the punishment was that the Satan was Mekatrik B'Shasaka. He was doing a risky demonstration of what Kida is. Not the Kida, just standing up and bowing a little bit. The Kida of holding up the whole body above the ground, laying flat on the ground, but not on the ground, holding it with your hands and your hips. So that's when the Satan was Mekatrik, that's how Rashi interprets. The Visha Hitiach, he was fresh to Ribbono Shel Olam, it's Kalka B'Shas HaSakana. The Satan's Mekatrik B'Shas HaSakana. So that's why he was punished. Yeah. Then the Gemara concludes this whole story. Amar Apiyah Baravin, Chazin Lul Abai V'Ravi. He once noticed Abai V'Ravi when they were saying, what happened to Matzli Atzluye? What does this mean? So Poshepshat perhaps means that when they said Tachnun, they wouldn't, in the days of the Gemara, you see from Kol Beis on the Beis, a lot of people would say Tachnum Epishit Yadayim Braglayim, but there's a concern. Maybe there's the floor is wooden. If you have a wooden floor, if you have a dirt floor, so there's no problem. We don't think that there's an Eben Maskus layer below the dirt. The dirt floor is the floor, okay. But if you have a wooden floor, unless you were there from the very outset when they were building, like over here. Right now, I'm in the Gluck building of the yeshiva. So we were here the whole time when they were building. There used to be a parking lot here. Then everybody saw it. There's no Evan Moskis on the ground. They didn't build it on top of something else. There was nothing on the ground originally. But Abai Verava were concerned maybe there was an Evan Moskis below the wooden floor where they were saying Dachnun. So even though perhaps other people would be in the practice of doing Pisha Dai Raglaim, when they say Tachnun, Abai Verava would lean on the side, Mitzle Atzlui, so the faces would not be parallel to the floor, so there wouldn't be a violation of this din. So that's what's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. When you say Tachnun, you shouldn't, if you're doing Pisha Dai Raglaim, there's still people from Teiman, Teiman Eshi Rabbanim, when they say Tachnun, every day in the weekday, so the imam should lay down on the floor. So Abai Barava wouldn't do it because they wouldn't do it the Pishna Raglaim straight. They would tilt a little bit on the side in order that it wouldn't be the Hishtachvois. It wouldn't be Hishtachvois. Hishtachvois is only if your face is parallel to the ground. Rashi doesn't say like that. Rashi says Abai Barava were unusual Anoshim Chashuvim. So when they would have to daven for Tzorchei Tzibur, the Gemara says an Adam Choshev is not allowed to be Neufel Alpanov unless he's Muftachlo, unless he knows Beruach HaKadosh that HaKadosh Baruch is going to answer his prayers. So whenever it be Mispalafet Tzorchei Tzibur, they wouldn't be Neufel Alpaneihem, they would be Mitzle Atzluye, special cases. But the Goyinim learned the other pshat that it means when they said Tachnun. When they said Tachnun, they would be mitzli atzlui, not to violate the din of Evan Maskis, even though there was no Evan Maskis floor. There was a concern maybe that Evan Maskis below the wooden floor. Okay, that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. Then the top of Chav Gimel Amar Aleph, you might quote from the Mishnah, how many aliyahs you give. So we know that you give, the Mishnah says, like Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Every day of the year, Sheni v'Chamishi, Shabbos afternoon to Mincha, you give three aliyahs. Purim and Chanukah and nothing special, so you only give three aliyahs. Shchodesh v'Chalamoyd, a little mochosh of the Havik, Kedusha deraisa. Shchodesh v'Chalamoyd, so you give four aliyahs. Yom Tov, you give five aliyahs. Yom Kippur, you give six aliyahs. And Shabbos, you give seven aliyahs. So that, the Gemara says, that's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. But the Mishnah says that you're permitted, you're not a pachsimam, you're not allowed to give less than three aliyahs every day, less than four aliyahs. What about hoysafis? So bimosachol, there's bitul malach, people have to run to work. So you're not allowed to make hoysafis. But on Shabbos, for sure, you're allowed to make hoysafis. And then we mentioned there's a machloikah, so we showed him how to read the Mishnah, the run on the riff, quotes this unusual pshat. Most of the Rishonim say that you're permitted to make hoysafis not only on Shabbos, on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, you're permitted to make hoysafis because nobody goes to work. And Chol HaMoed, a lot of people do go to work, so you're not allowed to make hoysafis, only for aliyahs. But Yom Tov and Shabbos and Yom Kippur, no one goes to work. So you can make all the hoysafis you want. And the Ran quotes another opinion, though, that Mosif and you're permitted to make hoysafis, you're not allowed to make hoysafis on Yom Tov because then you give it to Hashivas like Yom Kippur. Instead of five aliyahs, you only give six aliyahs. Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to make a Hoysafet because then you're giving Yom Kippur Hashibas like Shabbos, and you're taking away from Kvayt Shabbos. And Shabbos is on top of the list. Shabbos is the highest number by Aliyah 7. The Shabbos, you're allowed to make Hoysafet. So we usually have that practice that we avoid making Hoysafet on Yom Tov and on Yom Kippur. We only make Hoysafet on Shabbos. But if it's if it's Yom Tov Shecholias B'Shabbos, so you're giving seven aliyahs, so that's the top of the list. It should be permissible the holidays to make hoysafis then, because that's seven aliyahs. So the meaning is that you don't make hoysafis, because on Yom Tov Shecholias B'Shabbos, you don't lay Parshas HaShavua, you lay Parshas Yom Tov. You learn the Kriya Sattar is a Yantav Dikya Kriya. So the Yantav Dikya Kriya, we don't allow Hoysafis. even though you're giving seven aliyahs, that's the top of the list. And on Simchas Torah, which is a yontif, so normally on a yontif, our practice is we don't allow haysofas, but on Simchas Torah, we lay Parshas HaShavua. We don't lay a yontif dikakriya. In Chutz La'aretz, that is, in Eretz Yisrael, it's different. Everything is different. But in Chutz La'aretz, on Shmini Atzeret, it's a yontif dikakriya. And on the second day, yontif Sheni Shmini Atzeret, it's Simchas Torah. So we lay in Mizrei Sabracha. So because it's a Shabbos Dike Kriya, it's a Parsha Shavua, it's not a Yom Tov Dike Kriya. So that's why we do permit Haysafas. Every other Yom Tov Shechali is B'Shabbos, we don't permit Haysafas because it's a Yom Tov Dike Kriya. And on Simchas Torah, Shechal B'chol, Simchas Torah that falls out on a weekday. This year Simchas Torah was on Sunday. It wasn't on Shabbos. So you only give five aliyahs, but we allow Hoysophus. But Yontif is only five aliyahs, not the top of the list. So that's the minig developed like that. It depends, is it a Yontif Dikei Kriya or a Shabbos Dikei Kriya? Yontif Shechaliyahs B'Shabbos is a Yontif Dikei Kriya, so then we don't allow Hoysophus, even though you're giving seven aliyahs. It's the top. You should be allowed to make Hoysophus. And Simchas Torah Shechaliyahs B'chol, we do allow Hoysophus, even though it's only five aliyahs, because it's a Shabbos Dikei Kriya. That's the minig. Yeah. On Yom Kippur, there's an added reason, they say, an added reason why we don't make any Hoysophus, because the way we have the system worked out, how you give the six aliyahs, on Yom Kippur, all the psukim end off with kapara, in Yoni Kapara. So if you're going to make Haysofa, you're going to be missing that unique mila, that every pasuk, every aliyah ends off with a statement of Mechilas Avonos. So that's why we don't make Haysofa, is not to ruin that. So the Gemara raises the question, whose opinion does the Mishnah follow? Masis and Mani, whose opinion? It's neither Rabbi Shmuel nor Rabbi Akiva, the Tani, we have a Braisa. The Yontef, there are five aliyahs, Yom Kippur, six aliyahs, Shabbos, seven aliyahs. This is Rabbi Shmuel, Shita, we pass on like Rabbi Shmuel. Yom Kippur is six aliyahs, Shabbos is seven aliyahs, but Rabbi Shmuel holds, you're never allowed to make Hoysophus, even on Shabbos, not allowed to make any Hoysophus. So the Mishnah goes half like Rabbi Shmuel, that Yom Kippur is six aliyahs, Shabbos is seven aliyahs. What is the look of Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel holds, you never make Hoysophus. And the Mishnah says, you may make Hoysophus. And then Rabbi Akiva is Bechlam, not like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that Shabbos is six aliyahs and Yom Kippur is on top of the list. Yom Kippur is seven aliyahs. So true, Rabbi Akiva says, you're permitted to make Hoysophus. The Mishnah goes, that half of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva. We do permit Hoysophus. Either it only goes on Yom Kippur when you have seven. So Yom Kippur is on top of the list. There it goes on Yontif, Yom Kippur, and Shabbos. All three we permit Hoysophus. But that's the Gemara's kasha. Whom does the Mishnah follow? Why? If it goes like Rabbi Shmuel, kasha Tosefer, how come the Mishnah says we permit Hoysophus? Rabbi Shmuel says you're never allowed to make Hoysophus. If the Mishnah goes like a Rakiva, who says you do permit Hoysophus? But kasha Shisha Veshiva? Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Yom Kippur is on top of this. Yom Kippur gets seven aliyahs. So the Mishnah doesn't follow either Rabbi Akiva nor Rabbi Shmuel. And for the Gemara, Omar Rav, the two versions of what Rabbi Shmuel said. Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel, we have a Braisa that quotes on the two versions. Shrei Tanoi Aliba Rabbi Shmuel, two versions of what Rabbi Shmuel said. Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel, they had a Braisa that came from the Yeshiva, Debe Rabbi Shmuel. A Braisa that in the days of the Tanaim, nothing was written down. So all the Braises, all the Mishnahs, all the Braises were being recited. They had Braises. There were a ton of Braises. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi decided what to canonize. So he decided what they should say over and what order. What Mishnah is Mishnah Aleph, Mishnah Beis, Mishnah Gimel. And they should leave out a lot of Braises. And he decided what belongs in the Mishnah. But everything was still being recited by Ped. But most of the Achrayim hold, even though Rabbi Yehuda Nasi edited the Mishnah, he still didn't write it down. It wasn't written down till the days of Ravina Ravashi. Rashi always writes not so. Rashi always says Rabbi Yehuda Nasi edited the Mishnah, and they wrote it down. Now from that time on, they learned Mishnah's mitoch aksan. But most of the history books and most of the Achrayim assume, not like Rashi, that even though Rabbi Yehudanasi edited the Mishnayos, they were still saying it, still reciting Mishnayos Baal Peh. Was written down to the days of Ravina Ravash, and they edited Talmud Bavli that was also not written down till centuries later, in the days of the Gaonim. And that correspondence we have, the Gaonim had a big dispute whether they should be permitted to write down the Talmud Bavli, and many Gaonim held, no, you're not allowed to tell us. Unbelievable. People will have to remember all the Talmud Bavli by heart. How is that humanly possible? You have a few Goyim in every generation who knew word for word, every word in Gemara. How can you remember every word in Gemara? Till they finally, the Goyim had this big correspondence with each other, had a big dispute. And the Pesach HaMekubal was, we are going to write down the Talmud Bavli. So by the time the Talmud Bavli was written down, centuries after Ravina Ravashi edited it, they had a lot of sfeikas. Who said this did? Did Ravina say? Did Ravashi say? Was it Rab Nachman Yitzchak, Rab Yitzchak Bar Nachman? Every so often in the Gemara you have two versions of who said what, because it wasn't written down until a long time later in the days of the Goyim. So that's the Gemara says, whom does the Mishnah follow? There are two versions of what Rabbi Shmuel said. Tana the Bei Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shmuel's Yeshiva, Bei Rabbi Shmuel, they recited a brisa that says that Yontif is 5 aliyahs, Yom Kippur is 6, and Shabbos is 7, and that Rabbi Shmuel was of the opinion that it is Mosif and Aleh, not like the first Brisa. It's a contradiction, Rabbi Shmuel. Somewhere else says, Kasha, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel, Treitan, I leave Rabbi Shmuel. There are two versions. You have that every so often in the Gemara. Then the Gemara has Mantan Alehoda Tanya. We have a Brisa. Where is this a Brisa? It's a Masecha Sofrim. Maseches Sofrim, the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. Maseches Sofrim was composed in the days of the Gaonim, but they had, a lot of times they have Tanoim there in Maseches Sofrim. They have Shitas of Tanoim that don't appear anywhere else in Shas, but they had these brises floating around. Then in the days of the Gaonim, they decided to write it down, to write down the Maseches Sofrim. So that's, we don't always follow Masechet Sofrim. Magen Avraham says Masechet Sofrim was written by the Goyne Eretz Yisrael. The yeshiva was called Gaon Yaakov, and the head of the yeshiva was called Rosh Yeshiva Gaon Yaakov. So B'kitzer, we call them the Goyne. Not all of them were such Goyne, but the name of the yeshiva was Gaon Yaakov. So the Goyne Eretz Yisrael were the ones who wrote down Masechet Sofrim. Every so often we assume that's the Eretz Yisrael. And in Bava, what Rashi writes in Tainus, whenever there's a conflict between Minig Eretz or Minig Bnei Bava, so we in Europe, Rashi said, we in Europe follow the Minig in the Bavli, not in the Yerushalmi. So there are two practices when you start saying, we say Talamata, and Eretz Yisrael starts saying Saint Talamata Zayin Cheshvan. A long time ago, now it's already Kislev. And in Chutz La'aretz, you only start saying the same Talmud Matar on December 5th, 60 days after the Tkufa. So what do we do? That's in Eretz Yisrael, that's in Bubble. What do we do in Europe, where Rashi lived, France, Germany, America? So Rashi says, we follow the practice in Bubble. So that's what the Rosh Tainus. What do you mean we follow? It depends when you need the rain. It's not a machlokes tin minig eretz on minig bavel. So they need the rain on Zayin Cheshvan. And Chutzlot, they only begin to need the rain 60 days after the Tkuf on December 5th. So each country should be determined based on its merits, based on when you need the rain. So that's what the Rosh Tainus, the Rosh writes in his Tshuva. It was outvoted. We don't really understand. Pashto says the Rosh is right. He should. Well, we live in America. It rains all the time. We never have a dry season. Other countries have different seasons. Anyway, that's... So the Masechet Sofrim was composed in the days of the Goyim, but they quote, every so often, they quote brises that were very old, that must have been from the days of the Tanoim. So the Gemara quotes a brise from Masechet Sofrim. The Yontif, Ma'achrim Lovim and Maharim Lotzeis, you start davening later. A weekday, everybody has to go to work. So you have to daven 6 o'clock minyan, 7 o'clock minyan, whatever, vasikim minyan. On Yontif it says, ma'achrin lovoy, you come late, you let everybody sleep. Yeah, Rashi says, what are they doing in the morning? So Rashi explains, on Yontav, there's a heter echal nefesh. You don't have to cook all the food on Erev Yontav and leave it on top of the blech. That's on Shabbos. On Yontav, you're allowed to cook. So they daven late. On Yontav, they're busy preparing the food in the morning before they go to shul to daven. Umemaharim lotzeis, but they finish early. Because there are only five aliyahs on Yontav. Yom Kippur, memaharim lovoi. On Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to cook any food. Not on Shabbos, not anywhere. No heter echal nefesh on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, memaharim lovoi. Umemaharim lotzeis. Nothing will be gained by having a later minyan. So you start early, very early on Yom Kippur, and you draw out the davening text longer than usual. So why is there a discrepancy between Shabbos and Yom Kippur when you finish? Then on Shabbos it's memaharim lotzeis, you end davening earlier. Then Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur ma'acharim lotzeis. Why is that? So by us, the minig is we daven all day long. In some shuls, they don't have a break at all. In other shuls, they have half an hour break, or they have an hour break between mincha and nila. Okay. But in the days of the Gemara, that was not the practice. They used to have the Mishnah in the end of time. It describes that they didn't daven all day long. The girls would be dancing. Shada, how they allowed to dance on Yantav? It's a good question. But the Mishnah says the single girls would dance and the boy, they would make shiduchim on Yom Kippur, just like Hamishah Sabaav. It's hard to believe our practice is so different by us. We were sitting in shul all day long. So on Yom Kippur, it says Ma'acharim. God says a little later than Shabbat. Doesn't mean all day long. A little later than Shabbat. So why? The Gemara says, whose opinion is that? Why is it that on Yom Kippur it takes longer to daven? So Gemara says, it must be that Braisa in Masechah Sofrim follows Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, follows Rabbi Akiva's opinion, that you give seven aliyahs on Yom Kippur, and Shabbos only has six aliyahs. So that's why on Yom Kippur they finish later. They finish early. They finish at 10:30 in the morning, okay. But on Yom Kippur they finish a quarter to 11. And on the regular Shabbos, they finish at 10:30. Why? Because on the regular Shabbos, there are only six aliyahs, according to Rabbi Akiva. But on Yom Kippur, there are seven aliyahs. The Gemara says, who's a man? The Gemara asks, man tan of the Tanya. Whose opinion is that? Why is it that Yom Kippur, the davening ends 15 minutes later than on the regular Shabbos? The Gemara says, lemo, should I say Rabbi Akiva, this, like Gabri Yisera, have an extra aliyah. On Yom Kippur has seven aliyahs. Shabbos only has six aliyahs. And they used to have a meturgaman, and the meturgaman would darshan forever. So it's another 15-20 minutes for another aliyah. It takes a long time. If you have kriyas atar with a meturgaman, after every pasuk, and he says over all the din, it's going to take a long time. Umar says, no, that's not, it doesn't necessarily mean because of the extra aliyah. No, because Yom Kippur, you say more piyutim. On Shabbos, you don't say so many piyutim. And for the Gemara, Avila Tamer, Rabbi Shmuel, that line, that brisa, Masechah Sofrim, it came from the earlier generations, could even go like Rabbi Shmuel. Then Shabbos has seven aliyahs. Yom Kippur only has six aliyahs. But Yom Kippur takes much longer because you have so many more piyutim. The nafish sidur diyam, you have extra piyutim, that's why it takes so long. So then Igmar has a comment. Does this correspond to anything? That the basic Kriyas HaTorah is three aliyahs. You never have, that's how we pass. And you never have a Kriyas HaTorah less than three aliyahs. There was one Tana on the previous daf. There was one Tana who was of the opinion that when a Tainis falls out on Monday or Thursday, so you give three aliyahs. Tainis falls out any other day of the week other than Monday and Thursday. So you only give one aliyah. You only give, because you really only want to lain on a time of Sibur. You're not interested in laning Kriyas HaTorah. Only interested in laning from the Nevi'im, because the Nevi'im give Tochoch and Musa. That's the whole purpose of a time of Sibur. Everybody should get together, and the Rabbana should give Musa and Tochoch for the Averis that the people are violating. But when they call it HaTorah, you can't give just an aliyah to have the HaTorah. people are going to say that Navi is just equally important to the Torah. They're usually given Aliyah and you only learn from the Sefer Torah. On the weekdays, there's no Haftarah. And today, on the Tanya Siba, we're only going to learn from the Navi. So the Navi is not on the same level as the Torah. So Mishum Kovan HaTorah, the one and only Oyla LaTorah who gets the one single Aliyah on the Tanya Siba has to learn first an Aliyah from the Sefer Torah, and then he learns the Haftarah from the Navi. So there was one Tanya like that, that if a Tanya Siba falls out on any day of the week other than Sheni v'chamishi, only give one aliyah. So the Gemara said, we don't pass like that. We pass like the other shita. You never have kriyas haTorah less than three aliyahs. That's the minimum. That's the question. Was that from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu or not? The Gemara says, Gemara in Bava Kamma says, the Gemara in Bava Kamma, the end of Perek Meruba, the seventh Perek. So the Gemara lists off the ten takanas that Ezra made. Ezra made 10 takanas. So one of the takanas was that you lay on Sheni v'chamish. Well, what do you mean? That's from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Chumash it says, "V'echol shloshes hamim b'lo mayim." And then they came to the city Mor, and the water was bitter. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Kadosh Baruch Hu to throw in a branch from a tree. "Layim tiku hamoyim." So the Gemara says, "V'echol shloshes hamim b'lo mayim." B'lo mayim, ein mayim ala Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu, Beis Dina, they were the ones made the takana that Yilein, Sheni v'chamishi and Shabbos, shouldn't be holchem, shouldn't go 3 days, shouldn't go by without kriyas haTorah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ezra made the takana to Yilein on Sheni v'chamishi. Moshe Rabbeinu, Beis Dina made the takana. The Gemara says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu made the first takana, and Ezra enhanced it. So the different versions in the Gemara, what did he change? Days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was only one aliyah. And then in the days of Ezra, he made three aliyahs. I know maybe in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu also there were three aliyahs, but each aliyah only got one pasuk. So you only had the whole kriyas haTorah. It was only three psukim, ashmek tabik. And then in the days of Ezra, he added on that kriyas haTorah should be 10 psuk. That's a shaila. How far back was this takana that you give three aliyahs? But, so the Gemara says, the three, the five, and the seven. The basic din of kriyas haTorah that you never have less than three aliyah, that's how we paskin. We don't paskin like that Tana that when Tisha B'Av falls out any day other than Sheni v'chamishi, you only give one aliyah, the maftir, and that's it. So the basic kriyas haTorah is three. Then on Yom Tov we have kriyas haTorah five. And then on Shabbos, the highest level, we follow Rabbi Shmuel, you give seven. Does that correspond, the three, the five, and the seven, does that correspond to anything? So the Gemara had a machlokes amarayim. Yes, they thought it does correspond to something. So the first opinion was, it corresponds keneged birchos kohanim. There are three psukim in birchos kohanim. Yerech Hashem Yishmerech, Yor Hashem Ponim Elech, Vichaneko, Yis Hashem Ponim Elech, Yosem Lecho Shalom. So the first pasuk has three psukim, the second pasuk has five psukim, and the third pasuk has seven. Gemara says maybe the three, five, seven corresponds to that. Patterned after the Birchas Kohanim, that you have the three psukim with the 3, 5, 7. Then the Gemara gives another suggestion. Maybe it corresponds to something else. You look in Tanakh, you have Shloshes Somrei Hasaf, Chamisha Roi Pnei HaMelech, and Shiva Roi Pnei HaMelech. The five Chamisha Roi Pnei HaMelech are the same as the Shiva Roi Pnei HaMelech. But Tosis quotes Yerushalmi, the Shiva Roi Pnei HaMelech adds another two. The two is Sofrei HaDayanim. Okay, but it's the Shloshe Samei Asaf, they're totally different people from the five Roi Pnei HaMelech. Yeah, this is a question. What did the Roi Pnei HaMelech have to do with Kriyas HaTorah? What in the world does it have to do with Kriyas HaTorah? It's a very strange Gemara. The Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that there's a din that the Melech Oike Shift Al Kisei Mamlachta because the Lord Nishna HaTorah Azos. Everybody has a Chiyuv Kisvo Lechemes HaShir Azos. Every Jewish man, the Rambam writes, every Jewish man has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. The Rambam seems to hold only men, women are not Mechuyim. That's the question, how did he know that one? How does he know the women are Mechuyim? Maybe the women are also Mechuyim. Yeah. So some say because a woman, if a woman writes the Sefer Torah, it'll be puzzle. Because in Chumash Dvarim, the Gemara says, in Yibam is Dav Dalet, There's a machlokes hatanan whether there's a din of hekish. If two dinim appear on one pasuk, we assume there's some connection between the two. Then there's a question of smuchen. What if you have two psukim that are adjacent to each other? Do you necessarily assume that there's a connection between pasuk chaf and pasuk chaf aleph? That's a machlokes hatanan whether smuchim also has a status like a hekish, as if you would have the two dinim in the same pasuk, but not necessarily so. So we pass can a compromise. The Gemara says there in Yimam Adav Talin and Chumash Devarim only. In Mishnah Torah we darshan smuchim, we treat it like a hekesh, and in the other four chumashim we don't darshan smuchim. Why is that? So the Gemara gives an explanation, because Chumash Devarim Moshe Rabbeinu was chazer in Kol HaTorah Kula before he dies. He dies later on Zayin Adar and from Chodesh Shvat. Hoyel Moshe Beres HaTorah Zos Leimar. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to chaza everything that he taught them, from starting from Chodesh Shvat. He was told he's going to die another month, and Zayin Adar is going to die. So he says over one din, and then by association that reminds him of another din. By association, the second din reminds him of a third din. So he gave a whole seder, one din after the other, after the other, after the other. That's the way people talk. By association, that reminds me of another din. Then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu to write down the dinim, the Chumash Dvarim, in the same order that he delivered the shir. He said first one din, then another din, then another din, because by association, the first din reminded him of the second din, which in turn reminded him of the third din. So Rabbi Shalom dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, not necessarily the same language that Moshe Rabbeinu said it in. Rabbi Shalom said it in his own language, in order to learn out klal prata klal. You have to know how to darshan, how to read it between the lines to get all the nuances. You get all the details of the halacha. But the Seder HaDvarim, first the first din, then the second din, then the third din, Baal Hashem said he's going to leave it the way Moshe Rabbeinu presented it to Bnei Yisrael, and that's why in Chumash Dvarim Darshan Smuchim. So there are many, many dinim. There are many, many dinim that are based on Smuchim. So we have two Psukim in Kriyashma. It says, you have putting wearing tefillin, and then right after that it says about writing a mezuzah. So the Gemara says, "Yidarshin smuchim," because of Mishnah Torah. "Mishayeshna b'kshira men who are mechuyev to wear tefillin, yeshna b'ksiva." They are kosher to write a mezuzah. Women are mechuyev in mezuzah, but they can't write their own mezuzah. If the woman will write her own mezuzah, it'll be possible. She won't be yotze. Can she nail up the mezuzah? That's a machlokes. Some say that since a woman is possible for writing the mezuzah, she's possible for nailing it up also. So she has to get a man to nail up the mezuzah on her apartment. If a woman, a single woman, lives in an apartment, she can write her own mezuzah, it'll be possible. Because the Gemara darshan, ukshartam achsaftam, yisheyeshna b'kshira, yeshna b'ksira. So that's how you know that women are puzzled not only for writing mezuzah, puzzled for writing Sefer Torah also. So that's what some say, that the Rambam says only the men are mechuyevim. Every Jewish man is mechuyev to write a Sefer Torah. The Jewish women are not mechuyev to write a Sefer Torah because it'll be puzzled if they'll write it. Others say, no, the women are mechuyev to put up a mezuzah. They can't write their own mezuzah. They have to get a man to write it. Maybe the women are mechuyev to commission a sefer to write a sefer Torah for them. We never heard that the women ever did that. No woman ever commissioned a sefer. So when a wealthy balabas commissions a sefer to write a sefer Torah, what they usually do is they have a big simcha when they finish the ksiva sefer Torah, and then they invite people to fill in oisias. So women can't fill in oisias. It will be possible if the woman writes the Sefer Torah. But the women participate also a little bit. So the women, if they chip in, what is the idea of filling oisias? There's a big machloikis, and you look in the Pischa Tshuva, in the third Chelek Yeredeya, when they have Hilcha Sefer Torah. So there's a machloikis among the recent Achrenim, can you fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah B'Shutfis? Does every single man have to commission a sefer to write his own sefer Torah? Or can you have 100 people or 500 people, each one will give $10 and $5, $1, whatever, And altogether, a few hundred people altogether commissioned the Sefer, they write one Sefer Torah. So the common practice is that we make them, that you can be Yotzik, Siva Sefer Torah, B'Shutfus. The Gemara Chulin has a discussion, which mitzvahs apply even B'Shutfus, which mitzvahs don't apply if you have a Shutfus. So the Gemara says it depends how the mitzvah appears in Chumash. If it appears B'Loshan Rabbim, then it's implying that it can be fulfilled B'Shutfus. If it appears B'Loshan Yochid, it means it can't be Yotze the mitzvah B'Shutfus. So that's what some of the Achrayim say. So the Gemara gives a few examples. Some Achrayim say that here it says Kisva Lachem Esav Shirazas in the plural. Since it's in the plural, so based on the Gemara's klal, we ought to come to the conclusion that the mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah can be fulfilled B'Shutfus. So the other Achrayim say we don't know how to darshim psukim is manazeh. We don't even know how to apply the rule in the Gemara. The Gemara gives you the rule. The Gemara in the end of Chulin gives you the rule. Whenever the mitzvah is written by Loshon Yochid, can only be fulfilled if you're the sole owner. And whenever it appears by Loshon Rabim, the mitzvah even applies B'Shutfus. So there's some of the Achrayim Taina. We don't know how to darshan psukim. We lost the whole art. And we don't even know how to apply the Gemara's klal. Maybe there's a reason why the klal doesn't apply. But that was the minig all the time. The women would participate a little bit. In some communities, the women knew how to do stitching. Women to stitch clothing. So so the women would stitch the areas of the Sefer Torah. The men would fill in Isaiah. The Sefer, the male Sefer, would write the Isaiah. And then the friends of the Balabas who commissioned the Sefer, the right Sefer Torah was filled in Isaiah at the end of the Sefer Torah, a little bit sloppy on the last few lines because the people filled in the Isaiah. And then the women would stitch the areas, the parchments, the big pieces of parchment to each other. So that is a long Pischei Tshuva on Yeridei and Hilchos Sefer Torah. He's not happy about that practice. He says that's very questionable. Since if you don't stitch the areas together, the Sefer Torah will not be kosher, because you're going to be missing... Kind of missing a lot of parshiyos. So he quotes that according to some Rishonim, women can not only not write the Sefer Torah, ukshartem achzaptem, k'mi she'eshnem b'kshire, yeshnem b'ksiva. Only men who are mechuyev to put on tefillin are able to write a mezuzah, able to write a Sefer Torah. So from the Rambam is mashma, all tikkuni Sefer Torah that are ma'akev. So the stitching of the areas is ma'akev. So that's a long Pischei Tshuva. Whenever he has a long shtickel Torah, he calls it Nachlas Tzvi, the Pischei Tshuva. Usually he quotes from Nadi Biyuda and there's some Seif and so on. When he has his own, it's a long. So this is a long Nachlas Tzvi, it's a long footnote in the Pischei Tshuva. Whether he can do Ksiva Sefer Torah, they should first. So that's the Shaila. How did the Rambam know that women are potter from Ksiva Sefer Torah? That's how the Rambam writes. Women are not mechuyev. Shagas Arya is not so convinced that the Rambam is right. He has all that to say. Maybe women are mechuyev to participate, to chip in, to give money, to commission a sefer. They'll be one of many people who are commissioning the sefer to write the sefer Torah. So the women will also be right. So the husbands will give $10 for everybody in the family, the husband, the wife, and all the children. So this family donated $10 or $50 to the writing of sefer Torah. So the Sefer Torah is being written with Shutfus. That's what they used to do in Europe. Every 50 years or so, the community would put together money to write another Sefer Torah. So either you joined in when you were barely bar mitzvah, or you would join in when you're 75 years old. Every 50, 60 years or so, they would write another Sefer Torah. So everybody at some time in his life or another would be a shutu in writing a Sefer Torah. So the Pasuk says, when you appoint a melech, hoy kishift al kisei mamlachtoi, when he takes over the government, Kosalas Mishnah Torah Zos, he has to write a Sefer Torah Sheni, Mishnah Torah Zos, he has to write a second copy, just like every other Jew has to commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah, and Melech has to do that too, unless he wants to write on his own, he has so much time to write a Sefer Torah, it takes a long, long time, but then he has to commission a Sefer to write a second Sefer Torah. So it says in the Pasuk, he's supposed to carry that little Sefer Torah. The second Sefer Torah that the Melech has to write should be a light one. If it's going to be heavy like we have, how can the Melech schlep it all day? How can he schlep the Sefer Torah with him all day long? So it says, the Hoysa Imo, he should take it with him. The Gemara says he make it a second paragraph Sanhedrin. It says he make it a small Sefer Torah, that he should be able to, tiny Sefer Torah, should be able to carry it, should be light. The Korah by Koli Mechayav. So the Raman quotes from the Sifrei, what's Koli Mechayav? Yimechayav Elo Hayomim, Koli Mechayav Elo Halelos. Like it says by Sipitzit and Tzayim. Mantiska says, Koli Mechayecha, Yimechayecha Hayomim, Koli Mechayecha Halelos. The call is a Ribui. That's Marba Leilos here also. The Korah by Koli Mechayav. Bayom, the Korah by Yom of Alaylo. So the Rambam quotes these dinim. The Rambam quotes these dinim that this doesn't say in the Chumash. The Sefer Torah shall melech, the second Sefer Torah. Whenever you write a Sefer Torah, it's supposed to copy from another existing Sefer Torah. The Gemara says Rav Meir for Parnassa was a Sefer. So he once came to a community where there was no Sefer Torah. So he knew the whole Chumash Baal Peh, word for word, letter for letter. He knew which letters are Mole, which words are Mole, which words are Chaser. He wrote the whole Sefer Torah. Then he copied the second Sefer Torah from the first one, and he only learned from the second one. The second one was better than the first one, because the second one he copied from the first one. The first one was written Baal Peh, wasn't copied, but still. So the first one was an incomplete one, and the second Sefer Torah was complete. So the Rambam quotes a din. It's in, I think, in the Maseches Sofrim. I think it's the Maseches Sofrim. That when you write the Sefer Torah Shel Melech, you have to copy from the Sefer Azor. You have to copy it from the Sefer Azor. And you have to have members of the Bezen HaGadol learn with the Melech by Yom HaBalayla every single day. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. Maybe these Shlosha, the Chamisha Roy Pnei Melech, the Shiva Roy Pnei Melech, some of them by Achashverosh. Tosfos asked on Rashi, what are you learning out from Achashverosh? A Melech Rosha. So this Rav Soloveitchik said, maybe just like there were Chamisha Roy Pnei Melech by Goyish kings and Shiva Roy Pnei Melech, maybe the Yiddish Melech has to have members of the Sanhedrin with him, and they learn with him by Yom HaBalayla. The Rambam has that din. So maybe that's why that's relevant to Kriyas HaTorah here. How many aliyahs he give? He gives 3, 5, 7. Maybe it has a connection with the fact that the 3, 5, or 7 members of the Bez HaGol will be together with the Melech all day long. The Korebo Kali Mechayv, they'll be reading from the Sefer Torah with the Melech to teach him a little Torah every day. The Melech shouldn't think that he's above the law. In every country, there's a whole court case with Mr. Trump. He acts as if he has the right to insult all the judges and make fun of the whole government. So that's the Jewish Melech has to have a Sefer Torah with him all the time. He has to have a few Rabbonim with him all day long, members of the Sanhedrin Daila, and they implant with him this idea he is not above the law. He has to follow the Dini HaTorah also. One of the roles of the Melech, the Rambam has Hilchos Melachim, the end of the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam has Hilchos Melachim. In the last few chapters, Hilchos Melachim, he talks about Bias HaMashiach, the Melech HaMashiach. So the correct title of that section in the Rambam, Hilchos Melachim, Melchama Yisayim, because that's one of the roles of the Melech. That's not the only role. One of the roles of the Melech is to lead the nation in battle. But the Rambam has another line, a role of the Melech is to lead the nation in battle when they go to war, and Lushafat Hasam, Lushpatanum, when they were requesting from Shmuel HaNavi that they don't want to have his leadership, they want to have a Melech, and Shmuel HaNavi felt very insulted, what's wrong with me? I wasn't doing a good job of leading you and passing for you and guiding you. So he felt very hurt. So there it says, they requested a Melech, Ushfatanu, he will judge us. So the Rambam quotes that. That's one of the roles of the Melech. Melech me mishpat yamid eretz. The Melech has to judge the people. But is that the role of the Bezdin? The Bezdin is supposed to pasken dinei Torah. So that's what the Avnei Nezer has a long tshuva. And Chelek Yerbedeya. All the tshuvas on the order of the Shulchan Aruch. And Chelek Yerbedeya, we have Hilchas Tamir Chachamim. So the Avnei Nezer has a long tshuva. A big Talmid Chacham died. He was a rabbi in the community, prominent rabbi, and he left the son who was learned and the son-in-law who was learned. So the question was, and the son-in-law was more merutza lekol than the son. The balabatim in the community liked the son-in-law better than the son. So he has a whole discussion. It's a very long tshuva, so that every tshuva has a number. I think this is Shinyut Beis, if I'm not mistaken, tshuva 312. But this tshuva has a title also, Shesh Mailus Lakisei, that Shlomo HaMelech had a throne that he had to walk up 6 steps in order to sit down on top of the throne. So the Avnei Nezer has 6 steps. You have to overcome 6 hurdles before you get to the maskana of what the din is. Who yarshins the rabbanis, the son or the son-in-law? So the first hurdle he discusses is whether the rabbanis go to Yerusha. Because the Gemara points out that Liman HaTorah doesn't go to Yerusha. If you don't work hard, even if your father was the God Lador, if you're not going to work hard, you're not going to be learning. Just because your father, your grandfather, great-grandfather, big Talmid Chacham, you don't slide in automatically. So if Torah doesn't go Birusha, maybe the position of Rabbanus shouldn't lend itself Birusha. Malchus goes Birusha. So that's the first essay. He has 6 different topics that he discusses. So one of the major topics is, he says, the Mishpat of the Bezdin and the Mishpat of the Melech are not the same. He quotes a Drosh HaSaran. Drosh HaSaran is by the same Ran who wrote the Ran on the Rif. And the Ran Al HaTorah, the Chumash Bereish, is also by the same author, by the Ran. So he quotes the Drosh HaSaran that the Mishpat HaMelech is just for the purpose of maintaining law and order. Masheni Kain, that's Melech Mishpat Yamin Eretz, that the Pasuk and Mishlei, quoted by the Gemara and elaborated upon by the Radak. The Avnei Nezer quotes a lot of Radaks and a lot of Psukim and a lot of comments from the Radak. Masheni Kain, Mishpat HaBezen, that's Mishpat HaTorah. And the Gemara says, when you have a Bezen of Shloisha, they put honest, good Bezen, and they give a Psaak, the Shechina will be sure, Lekim Nitzav Badas Kel. So the Gemara said, Pshita, the Paskan, based on Dini, the Gemara said, Mawad Etem, one might have mistakenly thought that the Adin Torah is just to make peace, to maintain law and order. And so you would have thought it's only Shlomo B'Alma. So the Kamash Mullah, no, that's Mishpat HaMelech is Shlomo B'Alma. The Gemara doesn't say that, but that's what the Avnei Nezer explained. Mishpat HaMelech is Shlomo B'Alma, just to maintain law and order. He doesn't have to, when he gives a psak in Dini Mamas, doesn't have to conform to what it says in the Chumash. But the Mishpat HaBezen, that's Torah. That's the bringing Malchus Shamayim down to this world. Yeah, so that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested, that maybe the idea in the Gemara that the 3, the 5, and the 7, the Shlosha Shomri Asaf, and the Shamosim of the Melech, Chamisha Roi Panei Melech, and Mishima Roi Panei Melech, maybe the Yiddish and Melech has members, the Rambam writes, he has members of the Sanhedrin learning with him by Yom HaBalayla, the Korep Bakol Yimechaya. Hoise Imo, he has to carry little Sefer Torah with him all day and all night, the Korep Bakol Yimechaya. Kol Yimechaya, Yimechaya Vayamin, Kol Yimechaya Valelos. He has the members of the Bezdin, the Roi of Pnei Melech, who are with the Melech all the time, and they're learning with him. Maybe that's why the Gemara introduced it, when they get to determine how many aliyahs you give. You give 3, 5, and 7 aliyahs. The Gemara tells a story. Abai was a talmid of Rabbi Yosef. You have a lot of times in the Gemara that Rabbi Yosef, in his old age, forgot a lot of the halachas that he taught when he was younger. Then Abai would remind him, "No, you told us this." And a lot of times I buy dingzach with Rabbi Yosef, and whenever he disagrees with the Rebbe, we usually pass on like Abaye, I think, not like Rabbi Yosef. So over here, Abaye asked Rabbi Yosef, what is this all about? So Rabbi Yosef said the 3, 5, and 7 aliyahs corresponds to the Shlosha Shama Asaf and the Roi Pnei Melech. So Abaye said, how come he never told us this earlier? He learned by him for years. He said, he never told us. So he says, you should have asked me. I thought that you knew it. Is there anything that you ever asked me that I kept a secret? I always shared all of my knowledge, but I told you everything. I didn't realize that you didn't know this. That's the Gemara. Then the Gemara has an interesting comment. The six aliyahs on Yom Kippur, does that correspond to anything? So the Gemara says yes. And when they built it by Yesheni, so it says they had a bima shel eitz in the Azara, and Ezra was learning from the Sefer Torah, and the Gemara Nedarim comments on that pasuk that he was learning b'furish v'sum seichel, he was learning with trup, and he was saying targum, and he was showing a kriya niksiv. The Gemara Nedarim daf lamed zayin lamed ches, Ezra was pointing out a kriya niksiv, and it says that he had 12 people, six to his right, six to his left, representing all the 12 Shvatim. Ezra himself was a Kohen, Ezra Kohen, so he was Shevet Levi, and the other 12 were from the other 12 Shvatim. So six to his right, six to his left. Rabbi Rav Soloveitchik once delivered a hesped in the yeshiva. This would be a recurrent theme by him in his published essays and hespedim also, that you have sometimes there's a kriya ksiv. The way it says in the Chumash, a person presents one version of himself. The people think that he's very arrogant, and the people think that he's very bossy. But then there's a kriya. If you really know him, that's the superficial impression that he conveys. Then if you really know him, he realized that he was very humble, he wasn't arrogant at all, and he wasn't bossy. So this would be a recurrent theme, that there's a kriya ksiv on human beings. They present themselves, the superficial impression is one way, but it really is different. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik, on one occasion, on one of the hespedim, he said that Ezra Sefer, the Gemara says in the Dorman, Lamed Ches there, Ezra Sefer showed them a kriya ksiv. So he had all the 12 people look into the Sefer Torah when he was learning. He said, look, you see, it says it over here, it says it like this, but we have a tradition, we learn it differently. There's a kriya ksiv, there's a Torah Sheba'al Peh. So the psukim say in Ezra that when he was learning kriya satorah, he had six people to the right and six people to the left. So you see a connection with kriya satorah, there's an inyan of having six. Frag the Gemara, but the pasuk says he had six people to the right and seven people to the left. Mimino, there were six. So then Mismolo, he had Padoya, Mishael, Malchia, Choshum. It's another name I forgot how he pronounced it. Zachariah and Mishulam. Fegmar, how did Shiva have it? Seven. What do you say that it's six? Mar says, no, two names of the same person. His real name was Zechariah, but they called him Meshulam because he was Adam Shalom. He was a big tzaddik. That's the Gemara has a lot about that. Sukkim in Divrei Yomim, sometimes you have a whole list of names. The Gemara says it's all the same person, it has many different names. I think in Divrei Yomim, the Gemara says in one place that they used to transport possessions that they have from one place to the other on the backs of the camels. So the Gemara says there were so many camels that were loaded down with commentaries on Divrei Yomim that so many drushes on Divrei Yomim. We look at Divrei Yomim, a whole bunch of names, and the Gemara has a ton of drushes. The Gemara says there is a ton of, the Gemara doesn't tell us what the drushes are. Mara said there is a ton of drushes, and a lot of times, a lot of the names are just descriptions of two descriptions of the same person. Anyway, so that's how the Gemara said the six aliyahs at Yom Kippur is reminiscent of the six people standing to the right and to the left of Ezra. Maybe also because the Beis Halevi has a collection of drushes, as in the Sefer Beis Halevi al HaTorah, but he has in the Tshuvas in one volume, I think at the end of the second volume of Tshuvas, he has a lot of long drushes. He has one long drusha that we have in the course of the year. We have two holidays celebrating Kabbalah HaTorah. We have Shavuos, we say Zman Matan Torah, and then we have Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, how come lo yavlehem lisol yom tovim kachamishos abavikiyam kippurim? How come these were the two jolliest days? So the Gemara says, oh, well, Bishlemi Yom Kippur is a happy day because it's Yom Kabbalah HaTorah. Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luch HaShnius on Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Shlomo Levilna has in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo, is on Aruch Chaim, he has two Svarim together. As one Sefer Atzei Al-Mogim is a Sefer Tshuvas on Yerideya. Binyan Shlomo is Tshuvas on Aruch Chaim. Very strong. He was a genius. He is very strong. So the Rabbi Shlomo Levilna has this in the Binyan Shlomo, and the Beis Halevi has it in his Tshuvas. Why do you need two holidays celebrating the same thing? Kabbalah HaTorah. So he says the original plan by Shavuos, Maimon HaSinai, was that Kol HaTorah Kol is going to be Torah Shebichtav. There will not be any lead for Torah Shebaal Peh at all. And he brings raya from the Zohars and Gemaras all over the place and Midrashim that by the Luchas Rishonos, Kol HaTorah Kol was there. In between the Aseres HaDibros, there were more. There were more Psukim and anyone who had any shahadi, look in the luchas and the lancer would be there. But after the Chetu Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided he's going to punish Bnei Yisrael, and we will be under the shlita of Umas HaOilam, part of our punishment, and Umas HaOilam will be able to claim, as the Catholics claimed for so many centuries, that they're the real Jews, that the Jews lost their status when we rejected Osa Huish, so we lost our status as the Am HaNivcha, and they're the Catholics are the Am HaNivcha. So they will be able to claim this because they have a Sefer Torah. So they have the Torah. So the Ribbono Shel Olam had to institute, because he wanted us to be punished by being tachas shiltein ha'umais, and the umas will take the Sefer Torah and they'll hijack it, they'll claim they are the Aman Ivcha. So the Ribbono Shel Olam had to give them in Israel a Torah Shebaal Peh, so that's our uniqueness. That so we claim that we are the Aman Ivcha, we are the only ones that have the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Umas HaOlam don't have. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that he said over this whole drosha from the Beis HaLevi. So he pointed out that the Rashi HaChumash quotes, Kol HaPsukim Avodas Yom Kippurim, everything is Allah Seder except one pasuk. When the Kohen Gadol goes in and he goes out, according to the Chumash, the whole Avodah was done in three units, Big Day Zav, Big Day Love, and Big Day Zav. And according to the Torah Shebaal Peh, it was done in five units, Big Day Zav, Big Day Love, and Big Day Zav, Big Day Love, and Big Day Zav, five units. Because one of the Psukim is out of order. So he said, maybe that's the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam put it out of order on Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is the Yontov of Kabbalah's Torah Shebaal Peh. The Tilchas Yom Kippur, the Avodah's Yom Kippurim, is written out of order, because without the Torah Shebaal Peh, you would have done the Avodah incorrectly. You would have done it the way it's described in the Chumash. The way it's described in the Chumash, not the correct way. You have to change it a little bit. So that's what, that was the suggestion. Maybe the six people standing to the right and to the left of Ezra, the Gemara in the Dorm says, Ezra was showing them, you see, there's a Greek Xivia. It says it one way, we have a Torah Shebaal Peh has a tradition, you pronounce it differently. And how do you paskin? That's a machlokes. Do you paskin like the Ksiv, and do you paskin like the Kri? Whenever there's a conflict between the Kri and Ksiv, that's machlokes. Yeshem la Mikra, or Yeshem la Masaris. Taisus, for Tanis Ahed and Abdallah, whenever you can formulate the halacha by combining the Kri and the Ksiv together, then that's the best thing to do. Like the Gemara says, Kiyuta Mayim al Zera. So the pronunciation is Yutan, but it's written Yitain. Ksiv Yitain and Kri Nan Yutan. It's a Kri Ksiv. So the Gemara says, Yutan Dumir the Yitain. My Yitain the Nichle, have Yutan the Nichle. We formulate Halacha by combining the Kri Ksiv together. So that's what Tosfos says. Whenever you can establish the din by combining them both together, that's the best thing. If it's an outright contradiction, there's no way to blend the two in together. Then it's a machlokes HaTanaim, where they say, Yeshem la Mikra, Yeshem la Masoras. So maybe just like Ezra had the six to the right and the six to the left, six people, and he was showing them the Kriya and the Ksiv, so to on Yom Kippur, the Kriya Sator on Yom Kippur is about the Avodas Yom Kippurim. There, the Pasuk is out of order. So maybe that's similar to the, maybe that's the connection. Maybe that's similar to the people to the right and to the left. By Ezra, because Ezra was showing them the difference between the Kriya and the Ksiv, and on Yom Kippur, the Pasuk is out of order. The Torah Shabbat Peh gives us the correct order. Avraham Soloveitchik has a little sefer on Avodas Yom Kippurim. He has a chiddush. My impression was that it was Rav Soloveitchik didn't think like that. Avraham Soloveitchik has a chiddush. He, I think it's based on the Ramban, that if the Kohen Gadol would do the Avodah the way it says in the Chumash, in three units, on Yom Kippur, Big Dizor, Big Dilov, and Big Dizor, the Avodah will be kosher b'riyavid. The way he says in Chumash is kosher. My impression from the way the Rav said it over was, he wouldn't be Yotzei. But the Rav Avraham thought you would be Yotzei, just that you won't be Yotzei the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. A Chumash Tfilas Hasar Kiddushim. You only have five Tfilas if you have five units of Avodah. Before a Kohen is about to put on Big Dekuna, he always has to go to the mikveh. You need like a ger. A ger wants to be endowed with the Kedushas Yisrael, so has to go to the mikveh, a man or a woman. Or let's say when the Kohanim were chosen, so it says they had to go to mikveh. When Aaron and Bonner were chosen a Kohanim, Rochtza Osam Amayim, they had to be Tevil and mikveh. So the Gemara said, this man should be Deim Aleim Kunosam Aleim, Ein Bigdeim Aleim, Ein Kunosam Aleim. When the Kohen puts on Big Dekuna, then he gets elevated to the level of Kedushas Kuna Shabbat Migdosh. When he's not in the Beis HaMikdash, he's not wearing Big Dekuna. He has a Kedushas Kuna, he's not allowed to go to a funeral. He's not allowed to marry a Grusha. He's not wearing Big Dekuna when he gets married to the Grusha. But that's enough with Kedushas Kuna Shabbat Vuban. But to do avoid the Beis HaMikdash, you have to have a higher level of Kedushas Kuna Shabbat Migdosh. So that's, the Gemara said, that's why the din is, the Kohen has to go to mikveh before he's about to put on Big Dekuna. Because when he's going to put on a Big Dekuna, he will be acquiring a higher level of Kedusha. So the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, there's the Avodah, five units. So when he's about to put on the Big Day Zohar the first time, he has to go to mikveh. Then he takes it off, he's about to put on Big Day Lovan the first time, he has to go to the mikveh again. And then he takes off the Big Day Lovan, he's going to put on Big Day Zod again. When he takes off the Big Day Lovan, he's lowered down to the level of Dushas Kunish and Big Vulman. Then he plans to put on Big Day Zohar again, a second time, so he has to go to Mikveh again. So he goes to Mikveh five times. And every time he did take off or put on Big Day Kunish, he do Kiddush to Daim Raglaim. So that's what the Gemara says, Chomish Tvilas Vasari Kiddushin, Tovel Yom Kippurim, he's Tovel in the mikveh five times, because he does the Avodah in five units, and he does Kiddush on that Raglaim 10 times, every time he puts on and takes off Big Dekuna. So that's what Avodah has a diuk in a Ramban, I think it's a Mohammed on Yuma, that if he'll do the Avodah the way it's described in the Chumash, the Avodah will be kosher. That's a correct Seder Hadvarim. The only thing is, he will not be Yotze, there's Din Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, that you should have had Chomish Tvilas Vasari Kiddush. Even if he say will be kosher, but the Torah Shabbat Peh tells you not to follow the Torah Shibichsav on Yom Kippur. There's some German Jewish professor from 100 years ago published an essay. I remember reading it. I forgot the name of the professor. He writes, he documented that in Alexandria, centuries ago, they used to have a parade on Yom Kippur. All of the rabbinic Jews, all of the Jews who followed the Torah Shabbat Peh as opposed to the Karaites, they would have a parade on Yom Kippur to support Torah Shabbat Peh. Just like Lubavitch has a parade on Lag BaOmer to declare that they subscribe to the Zohar, the Yortzeit of Rav Shem Baichoi, or the birthday, whatever they say it is. So too, in Alexandria, they used to have a parade on Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is the day of Kabbalah's Torah Shabbat Peh. So that's why they used to have a parade in honor of the Kabbalah's Torah Shabbat Peh. And that's what this professor also had a suggestion. Why do you begin Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre? Because the Mishnah says, the end of the first parak in Chagigah, Hetan Nidarim Parchim Bo'avir Ve'en Lahem Amesha Yismochu. the different parts of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the bulk of Torah Shebaal Peh are the dinim that you derive by reading in between the lines. There's a Loshon Yochid, which is the Loshon Rabim, a Loshon Zochis, which is the Loshon Nekeva. You're missing, you have a Klal Prat, a Prat a Klal, Klal Prat a Klal. You read in between the lines. That's one kind of Torah Shebaal Peh. Then there's another Torah Shebaal Peh, Halacha Moshe Messina. There's no way to read it in between the lines at all. That's called Parchim Boavir. It's transmitted orally from generation to generation. The sound waves are floating in the air. There's no source in the Chumash for the Halacha Moshe Messina. That's what the Rambam writes. Halacha Moshe Messina is a term that only applies in connection with Halacha, that there's no way to read it in between the lines. So that's what the Mishnah at the end of the first parak in Chagiga says. The Bezin has a right to say mutalach, mutalach, mutalach when a person requests Hatorah. It's a halacha Moshe Messina, transmit orally, and there's no way to read it in between lines. Then the Gemara quotes Brises who disagree. Yeshlam HaMashi Yismocho. No, there is a limud, there is a yafusa to figure it out based on the text of the Psukim. But the Mishnah holds that in the Dharma is Parcham Avir, it's the real Torah Shebaal Peh that has nothing and not even reading it in between the lines. So that's what this professor suggested. Maybe that's why they had this parade in support of the Torah Shebaal Peh. They were fighting with the Karaites, so they picked Yom Kippur because Yom Kippur is the Yontav of Kabbalah's Torah Shebaal Peh. And maybe that's why Yom Kippur would begin with HaTorah Nedarim, which is purely Torah Shebaal Peh. We want to demonstrate that we all subscribe to the Torah Shebaal Peh. Anyway, that's what the Gemara suggested. The 3, 5, and 7 aliyahs. And then the 6 aliyahs of Yom Kippur is like Ezra had. Ezra had 6 people to his right, 6 people to his left when he was learning Kriyas HaTorah, and he was showing the 6 people to the right, 6 people to the left. Every Kriya Ksiv, he was showing him. Here the Torah Shebechsab says one way, Torah Shebaal Peh says you pronounce it differently. And today, Sedra, in Parshas Vayetze, Sedra begins, Yaakov Avinu runs away from Esav, he's afraid Esav is going to kill him. And he has a dream, Malachi Elokim, Olam Yordim, and the Sula Mutzav Arza. So the Medrash is bothered with the question, why is Malachim Olam Yordim? We usually visualize the angels live in heaven. That's the way we imagine angels live in heaven. So it should be Yordim, the angels should come down from heaven and then they should go back up to heaven. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash the different interpretations, many different interpretations in the Medrash about what the Sulam is supposed to represent. So one of the interpretations that Rashi quotes is, Malachim in Chutzalo Aretz give one Shmir. Ki Malachim Tzawa Lachu Shmocha B'chol D'Rachecha. The Malachim in Chutzalo Aretz. Yaakov Avinu was in Eretz Yisrael and he's about to leave Eretz Yisrael to cross over the border. So the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael go back to heaven. And Malachim Yardim, a different Malachim, not the same Malachim, Olam Yardim. Malachim Eretz Yisrael going back to heaven to stay there. Because Yaakov Avinu is about to leave the Chutzlah, Malach and Chutzlah has come down. And that, at the very end of this segment, he says, Machan Elikim, who's there, by Yaakov Halach Ladak, he's coming back to Eretz Yisrael, Yivkabo Malachi Elikim, Machan Elikim, Machanoim, why two Machnes? Because now he was going back to enter Eretz Yisrael, so the Malach and Chutzlah went back to heaven, Malach and Eretz Yisrael came down. Malach Eretzot means that Eretzot there's more Hashgocha Pratis. There's more Hashgocha Pratis. Eni Hashem Elokecha Ba Mireishis Hashana Arach Rishon. Eretzot has more Hashgocha. Hashgocha Pratis is not the same on everybody. The closer one is Kar Hashem L'chol Kairo. The closer one is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him more Hashgocha Pratis. This is L'tav U'L'mutav. Ragli Chassid of Yishmar. Sometime HaKadosh Baruch will make a miraculous Hatzalah to Tzadikim. Another person during the period of the Nazis, they would jump over pits. They would do things that were superhuman. They were old. Sometimes they were older people. Sometimes Ragli Chassid of Yishmar to Hatzalah, and sometimes the reverse. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medakdikim Tzadikav Kechut HaSaira. There's mahashgacha pratis. So a person who's on a higher level, he's closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be punished for every slight little sneeze of an avera that he's going to do. We don't know exactly what was Moshe Rabbeinu's avera, but in the midbar, when they needed water, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Dibartam al asel." So what was the avera? He hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. The Arachaim HaKadosh quotes all the 10 interpretations that the Rishonim give. So one interpretation is that he said Shimon HaMoirim, he called them Moirim. All the Averis that he did, if you put them all together, if we would do the Averis, it would be nothing. It wouldn't count at all. But Moshe Rabbeinu was on a higher Madregan. So the closer one is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the more Hashgacha Prat is going to have. And Eretz Yisrael, we're all closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that there was such a big pogrom, unbelievable, on Shmini Atzeres, is clearly Menashemai. But Derech HaTeva absolutely doesn't make sense at all. That all of the gods were sleeping? No, it was Menashemai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended the Bechira Chavshis of all of the people. And Saul didn't come till hours later. It doesn't make sense, but Derech HaTeva absolutely doesn't make sense. You know, it said there's more Hashgacha Pratis. This was Min HaShemayim. The Gemara says the Gula was only B. And he saw the Gula Melech B'Tshuva. And if the Bnei Yisrael don't do Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Ma'amen Aleim Melech Rosh Kehaman. And he'll pressure the Bnei Yisrael to do Tshuva. We hope that's what's happening. So many soldiers want to wear tzitzis. Hundreds of thousands of soldiers want to wear. They never wore tzitzis before. Many people are pledging they're going to wear tefillin for the rest of their lives. People are pledging they're going to observe Shabbos for the rest of their lives. Unbelievable, so many stories. Yet, we find it hard to swallow such losses. But this is clearly Min HaShemayim. The Malachi, Eretz Yisrael, give more Hashgacha Pratis than in Chutz Lawrence. You should have to daven to Rebbein Shalom. He should be Danas L'Teiva. The Chasam Sofer kept the diary. I think it's called the Sefer Zikon. It was printed many years ago. So he writes, there was a period of time that he had to leave the city Pressburg when he was rabbi in Pressburg because there was a war. Some war was going on then. So he says, the whole duration of the war, they would say Avinu Malkeinu every single day, and they would say Baruch Racham every day. You have to have Zo'oko. That's the posting of Allah Yisrael. You have to have Zo'oko. You're not Yotze just with Tefillah. You daven Shema Nesrei every day. That's when there's no major problem. But when there's a Mechama going on, you have to have Zo'oko. Zo'oko has to be something in addition to the Shema Nesrei. You're not Yotze with the regular Shema Nesrei. That's Rabbi Akiva composed of Avinu Malkeinu for the Tanesim. When you have a Tanesim, that's an Eis Tzara. No, it's no stira. In Parnes week Sedra and Vayishlach, Rashi quotes in the Medrash that Yaakov Avinu prepared himself for three things: the Doron, the Tefila, and the Melchama. What does he have to prepare? The Doron, the Melchama. Let him just daven. The answer is no. We have a chiyuv to daven Zo'oka when there's a Melchama. You have a chiyuv to say Avinu Malkeinu and maybe to say Urachum and to say You have to add special tefillas. And the Gemara says you have to learn. In the Schus of Limud HaTorah, the soldiers will be more successful in battle. The Gemara Makkah says, Amnus HaRagleinu B'Sharach Yerushalayim, Amnus HaRagleinu B'Muhammad. The soldiers are successful in the war. In the Schus of Shari Yerushalayim, that the yeshivas, they're learning Torah. So you have the Schus of Torah, and you have Zo'oka, you have tefillah. But in addition to that, you have to have Muhammad. Let's say a shidduch. A person just going to daven for a shidduch and the girl's going to walk in the door. You have to call a girl up and make a date and meet her. You have to. That's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, to go wage melchama. What do you have to wage melchama? Just daven and the schus of liman haTorah will win the war. What do we have to have a melchama? The answer is that's a chiyuv hishtadlus. Even though we have a Hashgacha Pratis, more Hashgacha Pratis and Neumas Oilam, Mechom and Eretz Yisrael is even more Hashgacha Pratis and Chutz Loretz. But still, that's the chiyuv to do hishtadlus. Act as if there were no hashgacha pratis. Act as if there were no hashgacha pratis. So you have to have a standing army. You have to do whatever an army does. When the shidduchim, you have to act as if there's no hashgacha pratis. You have to go make a date to meet the girl. That's why Yagvina had to prepare the dorm with a tefillah or melchama, not just the tefillah. It's not enough. One of the things the Tanoim did was, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yitesam and Aleph has, they asked the Matronisa, what should we do? One of the Roman Noshim Chashuvais, one of the women from Rome who was high up in the government, so they asked her, what should she do? What should we do? So she said, she was a PR expert. So she said, have a demonstration, have a Havganah, have a rally in the street. So the Gemara says they listened to her. That's Bedera HaTeva. You have to have a rally. And what did they say? So the Gemara said, the Tanaim said, we're all from the same family. We're all Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Esav, Yishmael, Yitzchak, Yaakov. We're all the same family. Why are we treated differently from everybody else? Have Rachmanis. So the Gemara says that it helped. That's what you have to do. And whenever you have such an Ace Tzara, that you have to have a Havganah, so you have to have, like the Gemara says, called Tainas Sibur, Shame on the Poshi Yisrael, Ain't a Tainas Sibur. You have to go along with the Rishoyim. You have to have Chilonim with you. You can't only have the religious Jews, you have to have non-observant Jews. In Yiddish, they say the word Sibur is a Rosh Tevet Tzadikim Beidinim and Rishoyim. And the Gemara says, the Ktoris, Pitma Ktoris, has 11 summer monim. So the Gemara says, Chelbana has a bad reyach. So what do they put in Chelbana? It's one of the besamim that's mentioned in the Chumash, Chelbana. So the Gemara says, to teach you this lesson, that called Tainas Sibur, same on Paris Yisrael, ain't a Tainas Sibur. You have to, an Erev Yom Kippur, we say, usually they used to have a cherim. You're not allowed to dab. You're not allowed to let the Bali Avera, the Rishoyim, because you're not allowed to let them come into the shul. But because the Yom Kippur is a Tainas Sibur, so you have to have the Rishoyim. Call Tainas Sibur, Shemim, Lepashi, Yisrael, Eina Tainas Sibur. You have to have the Rishoyim joined together. And you have to have the support of the Congress. You have to have. We need support of the Christians, of the guy. We need everybody's support. The Palestinians are pressuring all the congressmen and all the governments in the world that they should not back Israel. They should back them. So we have to have a demonstration. Like we were doing everything that it says in the Gemara. We were learning. We were davening Zaaka, and we had Tzuva Hafkinu. We have to pray that Baruch Hashem should listen to all of our prayers and make a miraculous, successful, Saul should be successful in this wiping out Amalek. The Baruch Hashem promised us he's going to wipe out Amalek. This is Amalek. Okay. Should all be well. We'll continue with the next week.
Thank you.
Rosh Hector, Rabbi Kalbus from Mount Sinai asked for a title for your shiur on December 3rd. Is there a title?
I already forgot what topic did you want me to talk about.
So if possible, something along the lines of Misora versus Mitzius in Pesach Halacha.
Okay, I'll have to give it some more thought. Good. Okay, great.
Okay, can I just put that down as the title? He wants to start advertising ahead of time.
Good.
Yeah, okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Cold, thank you.
Yeah, good night.